This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Anyway, so now how to develop concentration in prayer. So firstly, these are the things that we should focus on before the prayer. Identify what is it that's distracting us in the prayer. Right? What is distracting us in the prayer? And try to eliminate that. Is it that it's our business accounting? Right? Are we just worried about our customers? Are we worried, maybe we're a taxi driver and we're just worried about if the other guy's taking the calls properly or not? Right? And doing their work properly or not? We're maybe missing a customer? Is it that we've got just some problem on our mind all the time? And you know the shaitan? The shaitan, the khabith, the accursed, you know what he does? He will remind us of the last sin that we committed in the prayer. Especially if it's a pleasurable sin, right? Many sins are pleasurable, that's why we do them, right? Drinking, looking, whatever, right? Whatever the haram is. And you may have forgotten all about it. As soon as you start the prayer, he'll wait. You go in ruku or sajda, that's when he'll remind you. Because ruku and sajda are like some of the most important parts of the prayer, right? Because that's when you're in the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith in Muslim which mentions that the closest a servant is to Allah is in sajda. So he wants to spoil that. So he'll remind you of the sin. And you start remembering her or him or whatever it is, right? Or the thing or whatever it is. And that spoils your prayer. Identify the factors that will cause this problem to happen and try to eliminate them. Now, some factors will not be eliminated. You've got an ongoing business or an ongoing issue, you can't eliminate it. But what you can do is you can sit down and try to clear the mind and meditate on what's coming. If you just kind of jump up, Allahu Akbar, and you start, you bring everything with it. It's try to leave everything behind, focus on something just for that moment. In fact, think to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these problems that I have, this issue that I have, these distractions that I have, if I pray properly, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that whoever connects himself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make his other connections with everybody else easy and simple and smooth for him. If you think that way, you'll actually benefit from it, because then logically, intellectually, you're convincing yourself that this is the best way to do it. Right? There's no point me carrying my baggage into the prayer. So one is remove the distractions. If it's a physical like noise outside or whatever, then find a room that is not like that. If it's things around you, a lot of the time having your phone around you is really bad today, right? Because even while you're sitting here, I guarantee you there's only a few of you who probably not checked their email or their WhatsApp. What's the latest? What's going on? It's just so if it's there and you hear the beep or you hear the, you see the flash, it's like, who's that? Who's that? Right? It's just a big problem. So try to just keep all of that eliminated. A friend of mine, I mean, you know, everybody doesn't have the luxury of this, but a friend of mine, what he was able to do is he actually had a separate room in the house. Nothing around the walls, just musalla and some tasbihs and things like that. And it was called a prayer room. So he made it for serenity. Do you see what I'm saying? So and it's actually recommended to have a masjid of the house. You know, especially for women, right? But for men as well. Because the Prophet said, don't make your house like graveyards. And the meaning of that, one of the biggest main interpretations of that, is do not pray everything in a masjid where you don't pray anything in the house. Because prayer brings barakah. And the Prophet, all his nawafil were prayed in the house. He never prayed nawafil in the masjid. But you try to do that, I don't advise it. Because you go from the masjid, go home, and something distracts you and your sunnahs will go. Right? You won't do your sunnahs. But do try to make salats in the home as well, for men as well. The women, many of them are praying in the home anyway, right? Where you don't go to the masjid, you pray in the home. But the men should also pray in the home, because there's a barakah that's created by that. Number two, the second thing is, from before, learn the meaning of what you read in the prayer. So essentially what Allahu Akbar means, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, right? Allah has heard him who has praised him. Rabbana lakal hamd, oh my Lord, for you is all praise. Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, glorified is my Lord, Al-A'la, the highest, Subhan Rabbil Azim, glorified is my Lord, the Majestic. When you're reading that in sajda with that meaning in your mind, it's different from just reading Subhanallah, 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 Azim, Subhanallah, Azim three times. So learn the meanings and ponder over it. And then learn the meanings of the last 10 surahs that you know you frequently read, or whatever you read, you know, parts of Yasin, whatever you read in the, learn the meaning of that and try to focus on that. Right? So you have to obviously do all of these things from before. Relieve yourself from mental stress. Sit down and meditate for a while. Read a few adhkar. Calmly relax yourself. Have a break for a few minutes just to make a barrier between your normal mundane daily life and what you're about to do. Have a transition. You know, like they make you wait in a waiting room for a while. It's just to make a barrier, to make a buffer zone between what you're doing. Clear your mind. Get ready for the next. Put on good clothing. The ulama mentioned that it's actually makruh to pray in any clothes that you wouldn't want to be seen outside with, because you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So all of these things actually help, because you're giving more. Allah will open it up even more if you're showing Him these things. And the clear your intention is for prayer, when you say, I want to do this for Allah, I'm standing in front of Allah, the better the prayer will be. Then finally, during the prayer itself, so this is all pre-prayer, during the prayer itself, make sure that we discipline ourselves in our actions. Cut out all of the mistakes we're making. Educate ourselves about the best way to do it. Stand upright with a softened heart, right? That we're doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as some Sahaba used to mention, stand as though this is your last prayer. That if this was to be my last prayer, then how would it be? I'd make it the best. So make every prayer of ours like that. And I think slowly, slowly it will become a habit. It'll be very difficult in the beginning. May Allah give us all the tawfiq for this. And don't pray in haste. Haste is from the shaitan. Relax in your prayer. Take each action slowly. Even when you're going down, Allahu Akbar. Not like Allahu Akbar. Right? Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. So take it easy. Relax. Savor every prayer that we make, every word that we read, every movement that we express in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that in this case you are actually in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken up in his ascension to the seven heavens, and it's mentioned in the hadith that the prayer is the ascension of the believers. That's when we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your mind will wander, but keep bringing it back. Your mind will wander, keep bringing it back. That is why we pray five. That is why we make salat so many times, that it needs to be learnt. You can't go in a gym and start lifting a certain amount. You start slowly, right? Likewise with sparring or anything. You learn, you develop. Salat has to be learnt. So if we feel that our salat is really bad, don't worry about it. As that feeling is good that you even recognize it's bad. So try to make it better in each subsequent one. And after the prayer, there's also a post-prayer aspect to this, right? To really make the benefits of it linger and sustain. And the way to do that is don't just rush away after the prayer. Sit there and do the dhikr that have been related, the remembrances that have been related after the salat. Allahumma anta salam. Oh Allah, you are the source of peace, or you are peace. Wa minka salam, and from you comes all peace. Tabarakta ya dhul jalali wal ikram. Blessed are you, O one of great majesty and benevolence. And then read istighfar three times. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Why do we read istighfar three times? It's sunnah, because we may have had some shortcoming in the prayer. Our mind may have wandered. We may have not done everything optimally. So read istighfar three times, just, oh Allah, forgive me for that. That's why we read, you know, some people might be wondering, you've just done a good deed, why are you reading istighfar after it? It's because we might have some shortcoming in that regard. It may have not been perfect. And then, ask Allah earnestly to accept this prayer. Because we don't know if it's accepted or not. We don't get something you can check online. Yeah, that one was accepted, that one wasn't accepted. Do that one again. You know, that one was 9 out of 10, 4 out of 10. We don't do that. So we have to just ask Allah and hope for the best. But if we're trying our best and we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help, then to accept, then that will make a difference, inshaAllah. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. This is another dua that you could make. There's a number of duas that are mentioned, right? Oh Allah, help me, assist me to remember you and to thank you and to do good worship of you. If that dua is accepted, our salat becomes perfect, because Allah will help us then to perfect our prayer. Then there's other adhkar that we can read. Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33. This is all to put the cherry on the top. This is all to enhance it, to beautify it, right? And do you know why we make nafil prayers and sunnah prayers after the prayers? If there's any shortcoming in our fard, which is an obligation, then by doing the sunnah prayers, if in the hereafter we're taken to task for our fard, the sunnah should be able to complete it. That okay, we've had some problems here, but look, he's got all of these additional bonus points. Let's put them on there. So let's try to make sure we do our sunnah and nafil prayers as well. Right. And to tell the truth, there was I was sitting with a great scholar just some time ago, and he said that if you can't make your nafil prayers of the day, then what is the purpose of this life? And I think the older you get, right, the more serious you become, you really start thinking that I'm trying to achieve what I do through university, through work, through employment, through business, whatever it is I'm doing. But if I, even as a scholar, right, even as a welfare worker, even as somebody who's in a da'wah, right, you're doing all of this external da'wah. But if at the end of the day we can't come back and do our tahajjud prayer, or we can't get up in the morning, right, mid-morning ishraq prayer, duha prayer, and forget those, we can't even do our sunnahs and nafil properly, or even our salat properly, then what is the purpose of it? Just think like that for a moment. Because whatever we get for this world is going to be limited until our death. But this prayer and that is going to be what's in the hereafter. There's a person, a sahabi, who was sitting there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to Rasulullah, I want murafaqataka fil jannah. I want your companionship in the hereafter. So the Prophet ﷺ said, are you sure? So you could ask for something else. He says, no, that is what I want to ask. I want your companionship in Jannah. So what the Prophet ﷺ told him is, okay, but you need to help me. Right? You need to help me to do that with a lot of sajdas, with a lot of prostration, meaning your salat that includes your prostration is going to get you to be close to me. Right, so we can't we have times when we're young, really busy. But we need to start thinking that it's not worth it if we don't get this right. And the great thing is that if we're doing these things, if we're making tahajjud, we're doing these prayers properly, and our business is not going right, we die tomorrow in whatever situation we die. May Allah forbid. May Allah protect us from sudden and unsavory deaths. But regardless of how we die, we'll feel content that at least I've been doing these things, I've got things saved up. You know, like people save up for a rainy day. So you at least feel comfortable. And that feeling of comfort is so important, it will help us on our deathbed. When we say the last words, if we feel comfortable that, yeah, I'm leaving this world, you won't have a sense of loss, because you'll think, well, I have been trying. So you'll feel like I'm going with something. Otherwise, if we always haven't been trying and we're about to die, that sense of hasra and loss is really, really detrimental. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from an evil sealing state. That's what you call su'ul khatima. Right? Evil sealing state. We want husnul khatima, which is called the good and blessed sealing state. May Allah give that to all of us. And especially after Fajr and Maghrib, right, morning and evening, there's something you can read 7 times. Allahumma ajirni minan nar. 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 7 times. Oh Allah, give me refuge from the hellfire. Give me refuge from the hellfire. 7 times, Fajr and Maghrib. And we do it every day. If even one of those du'as are accepted in literally, that's it. We've got delivery from the hellfire, right? And normally a person who can do these things, slowly, slowly the other aspects of their life will become better. There was a person who committed a sin. One was he had kissed a girl, right? Unlawful, right? So he went and prayed, and he came back, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Your salat has cleared that out." Now that doesn't mean you can go around doing that and go make salat and it's all done and dusted. That was with the Prophet ﷺ. His salat must have been something, and there was the Prophet ﷺ there to tell him to. Otherwise, you know, if somebody tries to misuse this, that yeah, I can go around flirting around and go make salat and it'll all be fine. It doesn't work that way.